If you didn't get a little half-sheet outline, if you raise your hand, Chuck will get you one. There's some things to fill in. Thank you for being here this morning. I'm going to do something a little different. I'm just going to introduce our next section, and then we'll take a break and go and learn about the rapture. I'm looking forward to that. Jesus said to his disciples, "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven." And then he said this, "But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." You deny me, I'll do what? Deny you. Who ended up denying Jesus? How many times? Three times. What we're looking at in 2 Peter chapter 1 really is part of Peter's resume. Peter forgot, I believe, that's why he ended up denying the Lord Jesus. And Peter will never forget for the rest of his life that he forgot. All right? So in chapter 1 of 2 Peter, the section we want to look at this morning for a little bit, or at least I want to introduce it, verses 12 through 15, Peter is going to give us his purpose statement for the entire book, or really, some have called this his last will and testament. He's going to remind believers to keep on pursuing a virtuous life based on their relationship to Jesus, and he was going to remind them of things they never should forget, and he's going to remind us of his ministry of reminding. So let me read it, and then we're going to do something just a little bit different this morning. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 through 15, Peter says this, "Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and you're established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as in this body or this tent, to stir you up by way of reminder. Since, verse 14, I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as the Lord Jesus made clear to me. And I will make every effort." Peter says, "I will go out of my way so that after my departure, after I die, you may be able to at any time recall these things." I want to look at some biblical insight this morning from Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. Dr. Lloyd-Jones preached 25 messages on 2 Peter from 1946 to 47, post-war England. Very difficult time for the country. It's available for you from the Banner of Truth. It's still in print. It's very weighty, very worth your time. And I think I started in 1985 reading it for the first time. I want to give you some applications from Dr. Lloyd-Jones. And next week, Lord willing, I want to come back and really take these verses apart. But before I give you his reasons and they're written out for you, I want to give you at least, or his applications, and by the way, wait till you hear Dr. Angotti's second part to what he talked about this morning. I mean, it is absolutely amazing. The best is yet to come. So take advantage of this. This is well thought out, well prayed out, and it's going to get even better. It's just, I can't believe what the Spirit reveals to him that time of the day. So it is going to be phenomenal. I want to give you four reasons why I'm paying attention to Dr. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones. He was an expert medical doctor in England for years and years and years, and God called him to be a Bible teacher, and he did that for many, many years. You can read his biography, his autobiography, and some biographies about him. But there's at least four reasons why I pay attention to Dr. David Martin Lloyd-Jones. Number one, and this might be personal, it may not mean much to you, but Dr. Lloyd-Jones on cassette, you can still listen to him, is the preacher, the main preacher that John MacArthur listens to. And John MacArthur is one of the foremost Bible teachers in the world right now. You may not agree with everything he teaches, but he is one of the number one Bible teachers. He is 83 years old, Dr. MacArthur. He's been pastoring Grace Community Church since 1969. That is a long time. And the main man who influences MacArthur is Dr. Lloyd-Jones. And so I always like to know who influences you. Who are you listening to? Who are you reading? I ask that of preachers and leaders. What book are you reading? Who are your favorite authors? Who are your favorite speakers? It helps us put together what they're really saying. We're reading a book right now on all the influences in Tim Keller's life, and you can really understand better where they're coming from. So, like I said, if Pastor MacArthur values Lloyd-Jones, I need to pay attention. He is worth paying attention to. Second reason, Dr. Lloyd-Jones, if you study his life, was not afraid to simply let scriptures speak. He just taught the word of God, not for dishonest gain, not to be a man pleaser or respecter of persons. And I'll tell you what, you're always tempted to want to make people happy. All right? Right? You want everyone to like you. You don't want to be mean-spirited. And there's a lot of things we hold back because we want people to like us. And Lloyd-Jones wasn't like that. He just taught scripture. I remember in two different occasions in my life, I was asked point blank to edit scripture. I was in New Jersey. I was teaching through 1 Corinthians. And if you know anything about 1 Corinthians, and you do, it has every tough issue in it that there seems to exist in the church. And so I was just teaching through the whole book. And every issue that came up, we tried to handle. And one of the elders took me out in the hallway, a new dorm up there, out in the hallway, at his big hallway. And he said, he thought it would be really a good idea if I would bypass some of those hard passages because they might be offensive. And I think I was nice to him. I said, how do you do that, Nance? Anyhow, how do you skip? People will figure that out really quickly, you know. I said, no, I'm committed to teach the whole book. And, okay. And then we had an elders meeting, and he brought it up in front of 12 men. And he said, we would really appreciate it if the pastor here wouldn't teach all these hard issues in 1 Corinthians. And never forget, the weakest guy on the board stood up and said, no, we're going to teach the scriptures. And I really appreciated that. And then I was out here in York, and I was teaching through the Gospel of Mark, and I was told by a couple guys that, you know what? If you teach Mark 10, you'll empty the church. It's on divorce and remarriage. And, well, you're not going to empty the church. Well, they never let me teach a Mark 10, so we taught it in your backyard. Remember on Tuesday night? And we didn't do that at all. You just teach the Word of God. And I appreciate men like Lloyd-Jones who was not afraid just to let Scripture speak. Teach the Scriptures. Let the Spirit do what He's going to do. Then thirdly, Dr. Lloyd-Jones has a proven track record, if you're taking notes, okay? He has a proven track record. You can fact check me on this. You can buy these, I think, most of them. He has 14 volumes on the book of Romans, all his sermons on Romans. His book on the Sermon on the Mount has impacted many. He's written eight volumes on Ephesians. All his messages, Acts, Colossians, 1 John, John 13 through 17, a lot more, 2 Peter. And I was just listening to a conference online, a preaching conference where they sat all the preachers on the platform, and they asked them, the first question they asked them, I think it was a Ligonier conference, they said, what is the main book that has influenced you today as preachers? And they mentioned Lloyd-Jones' book, Preaching and Preachers. I thought that was amazing. Fourth reason I'm paying attention to Dr. Lloyd-Jones is that he never changed to keep up with the times. He never changed. He did not alter anything just to keep up with the culture in which he was living. I don't follow his style. If you listen to his tapes, he has a heavy British accent. He has a different way of doing things. But there's clear, solid, practical, biblical exposition. It is not entertaining. It is very serious because he knew the value of souls and he believed in the unseen eternal realities. Well, let me offer you three applicational principles from the doctor, and that's what they called him during his lifetime and even today. Let me give you three applicational principles from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 15 on a whole issue of memory and the importance of reminding people. And they're written out for you. I'll just read these, fill them in, say a few things. Number one, Dr. Lloyd-Jones said, is there anything more characteristic of life than our tendency to forget? And the answer is no, okay? Is there anything more characteristic of life than our tendency to forget? And his answer would be no. One author said, and I'm going to disagree with this guy here, he said, extensive research has observed that within an hour after hearing a spoken message, people forget up to 80% of it. Don't you think 80% is kind of low? I think we forget more than what we hear, more than 80%. And I think the reason is we're exposed to so much information all the time. You can't remember it. We forget people, we forget friends, we forget great exalted moments. One author said, there is in us a constant tendency to forget. Listen to this. Yet regarding sin, we find it almost impossible to forget the things we like to forget. Why is that? Well, because the devil is, what's the title for Satan? He is the accuser of who? The brethren. And he likes to take sin that we think we've confessed and bring it up to our minds and our souls again and again and again. He not only blinds, but he comes and takes away the word. Peter's concern in 2 Peter is that you might be aware of a truth but not possess it. You might know it intellectually, but the Spirit of God has never driven it to our hearts, and he wants to remind and remind and remind and remind, knowing and doing what is good. There's a second application I want to mention this morning. Dr. Jones mentioned that memory is something, and that's what Peter's going to do here, that needs to be roused, that was his word, and stimulated. Memory is something that needs to be roused and stimulated, and there's no room here for any kind of passivity. This is absolutely necessary for believer. We end up forgetting by default, and I made my list here. I'll ask for your list. We know, and some of us take great measures to remind ourselves, and what do? We wear a wedding ring. What does a wedding ring do? What's it supposed to do, at least? It's to remind you, all right, of that covenant you made on your wedding day. We have a cross. What's the cross do? Well, it's behind the screen. We put crosses up to remind us of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. We have a calendar. We have programs on our phones and our computers. I'm not supposed to sit still for a long time because my leg will get stiff. So I have a little deal in the office that I can set. Every 30 minutes it goes off and I have to get up and move around and do stairs and all kinds of things. It is just a reminder. We have grave monuments. We have several Holocaust museums. And when I was over in Israel, they took us to a Holocaust museum. They're terrible. And the place was surrounded with Israeli soldiers, young men and young women. And we were told that these soldiers had to spend time in a Holocaust museum so they would what? They would not forget what Israel went through. And they said, we will never let that happen again. And one of the reasons to make sure that doesn't happen is we're going to remember what happened. We get missionary letters to remember our missionaries. We get advertisements perpetually. We observe the Lord's table. Jesus said, do this in what? Remembrance of me. We have music. We have pictures around the house. We have memory verses. I have stickers on the car. I have post-it notes. What else do we have to remind us of things? That's my list for now. What's your list? What do we have? What do we leave out? Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. How come my wife never forgets? Yeah, we have wives. What else? Who else? Come on. Hey, Doc used to send me a postcard in the mail twice a year. It's time to come see the dentist. Don't you love those reminders? Now it's an email. Come. You better come see. You neglect, your teeth will leave, you know, kind of a thing. So, yeah. What else do we have to remind us? Come on. Sure. Yeah, Mother Nature.
Trees blooming in the spring remind me of things that in the past that I remember. I think that's a good reminder.
We'll come back on that one. It's a little. We have the screen. Yeah, absolutely. One author said, the discipline of the Christian life demands that never a day should pass, but that we should remind ourselves of certain things. And as you just mentioned, the scriptures, prayer, lest we forget and drift away. There's a third application of truth I want to give you quickly. And this is where Peter's going to come back to, and we'll come back to that. Dr. Lloyd-Jones said, and this is so important for us here, it is the business of the church, and it is the business of preaching, not to present us with new and interesting ideas. And we like new and interesting ideas. We want new stuff. But it is the business of the church to go on reminding us of certain fundamental and eternal truths. Go to an interesting verse. I want to read two verses here. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 15. Paul is introducing this great treatise on the gospel. Wonderful book that Dr. Lloyd-Jones spent years teaching through. And his ministry lives on in his books and in his tapes. Romans chapter 1, there's several verses in here that I pause when I read them. But Romans chapter 1, verse 15, Paul says to Christians, these are not lost people, these are Christians, these are saints. Paul said, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Why? Why do you think Paul was eager to preach the gospel to those who already trusted Christ? Why would he want to do that? Why did that move him? Why do you think? You got to speak loud. I can't hear. Reminder. Can the church forget the gospel? Can the church forget the gospel? Yes or no? Yeah. I talk to Jamie Mitchell almost every week. I didn't talk to him this week. We text, and Big Dog, we call him, and he gets around to a lot of churches, and he will tell me, and Mark Krakow will tell me, and some of the other guys will tell me who get to churches all the time, that you'd be surprised. We go into a lot of churches. There's no prayer. There's no welcome. There's no gospel. And the church believes in all that stuff. We just get caught up and we forget. Look at. Here's another one. Here's where it gets a little, and I believe you're right. I believe that's why Paul said this. He's eager to get to Rome to preach the gospel, to remind them, to take them deeper in it, but lest they forget. Look at one more verse here. And this is one of Paul's dying words. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 8. Paul's about to lose his life for the Gospels. He's in a Roman dungeon. And I think it was Brian who brought in a video presentation of Paul's life several years ago. We looked at that. And we have several copies in the shelf if you'd like to take it home and look at it. It's just, we'll show you a little bit what Paul went through. Very, very, very tough way to go. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, Paul says to Timothy, those words. He says, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. And I asked myself the question, why would Paul have to say that to Timothy? Because under persecution and distraction, you tend to forget the things that are really, really important. They slip from your mind. And if Peter could deny Jesus, Timothy could forget. Timothy could even forget the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the business of the church, Lloyd-Jones goes on to say, to constantly remind men and women of certain things which they constantly tend to forget. And what are some of these things? I started listing some of these things. Number one, life itself. Life itself for the believer is to be lived for the glory of God. We know that, but we forget and we drift into doing other things. The nature of life. Life is temporary. Life is running out. How many times we get embroiled in things that really don't matter? Do you do that or just me? You know, I just came from Jersey. I had to go up there for Thursday, Friday. And a lot of my friends are buried in that cemetery across the street at Keswick. A lot of the older leaders I used to hang around with, they're gone. And it reminds me that life is so short, is it not? And we need to focus on things that really matter. Amazing. Peter will remind us, particularly in 1 Peter, that we are aliens, we are sojourners, we are just passing through. Our true home is in heaven. We're going to a final and great destiny. And as Pastor Gary is going to teach us in the next hour, maybe today the rapture could occur today. We need to be reminded of God's view of time. 2 Peter 3, he looks at time differently than we do. We need to look at the reminder of the guaranteed promise of a new heavens and new earth, the Great Commission, the church, and many other issues that we tend to forget. How does the church do this? How does the church go about reminding us of fundamental truths, eternal truths? Well, through, through preaching and teaching, through old and new music. I mentioned to Tim this morning, I kind of smiled. Keswick runs hymn sings once a month where they could get up to 500 seniors get together and for a couple hours they sing hymns. And her hymnal's wearing out. And the director came to me the other day and he said, we're gonna buy a new hymnal. We're buying 500 new hymnals. He didn't ask me to buy any, but you know, I'm sure he'll be after us to do that. And he said, we picked a brand new hymnal. We really, really like it. Guess what hymnal they picked? The same one that is in your seat. They thought that's one of the best ones out there. I thought that was great. We go on reminding people of truth through interaction during Sunday school, small group times. That's very, very important. We do it through special speakers, retreats, because we need fresh voices saying the same thing. I've asked Pastor Jeff Barbieri to come on, when is it? August 23rd. Jeff is a former, he still is Italian, but he was a former Catholic. Someone introduced him to Christ one day. He is fired up. You think I speak fast? Wait till you hear Jeff. I mean, he is amazing. He's going to talk about our position in Christ. I remember years ago, I felt bad about this the first time, but I was teaching through a book of the Bible very, very thoroughly, everything in there, you know, outlines, longer outlines than what you have there, and I thought I was doing a good job. And we sent a bus up to Word of Life. They went up to Word of Life every summer for camp. And they went up to camp, and they heard some speaker speak on the same book I was teaching. And they came back, and it's like, I never mentioned it. They heard the stuff for the first time. They were so excited. What is that? Hearing the same truth from a fresh voice. It's very important. It's very, very valuable. And that's why we do that at times. Well, next week, Lord willing, I want to go back to 2 Peter chapter 1, 12 through 15, and really dig into what Peter's talking about, because he knows life is short. He knows that people are going to forget, even though they're established. This is a good group of people he's talking to. I mean, they know the truth, they're established in it, but he knows our tendency to forget, and he's going to give us some principles that we need to have. So in the meanwhile, I want to encourage you to keep on reading 2 Peter, okay? 3 chapters, keep reading that. If you could do it once a day, that's great. And then hopefully you could stay for our next section on the rapture, which is going to be really, really good. Let's pray this morning. Let's pray. And I want to encourage you to take full advantage of this gospel presentation that Dr. Angotti put together for us. He's put a lot of time and prayer into it. You can modify it. He'll help you with it. But it is another great opportunity to be a witness while we have opportunity to do so. Father, boy, my heart's full. Thank you for a great presentation. We look forward to the next hour when we learn about the blessed hope that all of us have, and we need that reminder constantly. And Lord, thank you for the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and thank you for the Lord Jesus, who will be back in any moment, in Jesus' name, amen.